podcast for SeedSing.com. I am your host, R.D. Kulik, and with me here is we're doing this again, so I'm going to say the 42-year-old backup center for the Auburn Tigers basketball team. That's the greatest other host, Ty. How are you today, Ty?
Hi, everybody. You got it right this time. Let's peek behind the curtain. Yeah, they got a lot of old dudes on that team.
I heard yesterday that the starting five of Auburn is older than the starting five of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And the Thunder would still wipe the floor with.
Well, yeah, they're one of the top three NBA teams. Second half, I'll talk a little bit more about that. But Ty, I'm going to do this more free-flowing in that the original name of this podcast I originally was going to do is ask you or talk to you about what the hell happened to ESPN.
I got a lot of thoughts.
And I figured, but a big portion of that conversation for me when I was kind of writing it out was, what the hell's wrong with men's basketball? I know some people are going to say the scoring, all this stuff. And again, we'll get to the NBA in the second half, but I wanted to start this first half with college basketball. And when I say what the hell's wrong with it, I guess I'm asking, is there anything wrong with it? Do you have any initial thoughts on that?
I have issues with transfer stuff and NIL things. I think it's good players are getting paid and go play where you want to play. But it's very clear that the teams with money are the teams that are going to continually win. I've been texting our cousin a lot who lives in Wisconsin about this stuff. And I'll give credit to our dad here. I think eventually there's going to be like 60 or 70 teams who kind of break away from the NCAA and they're the quote unquote elite teams, as our dad called it. In the long run, I think the tournament will continue to look more like this, but there will be an entirely different group of NCAA teams involved in that tournament. It's just the rich stay rich. The middle class teams are becoming the poor teams, and the poor teams. I saw St. Francis, who was in the tournament a couple of years ago, is now a Division III basketball school. That's the reality of what's going to happen.
And for those of you that don't know, because I know very well, because I was a Division III athlete, Division III is non-scholarship.
Yeah.
I did get something called a leadership scholarship. First off, it's $500 a semester. Now, again, this is almost 30 years ago, but still. But it's not like I was getting my full everything paid for. I know some people may say there's some Division III athletes that are taken care of, but it is a very, very, very small amount of people.
Actually played football at the same college you went to. And
oh, yeah.
He got grants and academic stuff, so he didn't have to pay. Mm-hmm. He was as good a student as I was. I was a C average student.
So find a way. Trust me.
Exactly. Yeah. He was really good to be a starting Division III football.
And there's a few, I think London Fletcher maybe being the most famous one, Division III players that have made it to the pros. But yeah, there's very, very few. The point we're trying to make is if that was a Division I school and they're down to Division III, it's because they can't get the athletes.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you from where my son goes to school, we live in the northern suburbs, northeastern suburbs of Cincinnati, about 20 miles or so from the city. My son goes to school in the city. So every morning, kind of making that drive. And when I say he goes to school in the city, so we have a big basketball game here every year in December called the Crosstown Shootout. And it's between Cincinnati and Xavier. And his school could literally be the location of the Crosstown Shootout because it is about equidistance from Cincinnati and Xavier. And he is like a mile from each. So this is how close these schools are. Now, in the case of Cincinnati, it's a historic college basketball program, but it hasn't been good for a while. They went into...
I mean, since Bobby Huggins left, right?
Yeah, they had Mick Cronin, who's the coach at UCLA. Now, they're pretty good under him. I did see them as a number two seed blow it in the second round, or number one seed, sorry, a few years ago. And then Mick Cronin left for UCLA. No, they have not been good. Xavier, who's another fairly historic program, they have been better. And a lot of it is because 10 years ago, a young coach, Sean Miller, made a huge run with them, left for Arizona, something about the FBI, got fired, came back to Xavier. And they were in the tournament. They were in the first four, won a game, knocked out in the first round. I don't know what if we want to call it the round of 64, whatever the hell we're supposed to call it now.
I call it the first round.
Yeah.
My son gave me a whole line like, why don't you ever pick the first four, Dad? I'm like, the tournament's 64.
Yeah. Yeah.
68.
And then Sean Miller left for Texas. So I guess I'll start with that. He left for Austin. Okay. Yeah. University of Texas. And then we got Rick Pitino's kid. So
Richard.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Richard Pitino. Pitino. Richard Pitino. Which I'm actually happy with. I think that's good.
Because he had a semi-successful couple seasons at Minnesota, and I think kind of resurrected his career wherever he was before this.
New Mexico, I think.
Yeah, so but now he's got a major D1 job.
The reason I bring up this part of it is Cincinnati is a big college. It's got multiple sports. It was the only non-Power Four school to ever make it into that college football four. I mean, they got boat raced by Alabama, but
they kept it
for a half.
Hey, man.
And then Nick Saban said he stopped throwing Sauce Gardner's way and they ran off with it. But UC has had a pretty good football program, but it has basketball in its DNA. With NIL, most people around here are going to want to invest the money into UC football. Xavier doesn't have a football team. Okay, they're part of this Big East where, like, I think the only team that has a football team in the Big East is UConn. And it's like, and does anybody know UConn has a football team? But
hey, Jim Moore Jr. coaches there, dude.
But you have, with the Big East, you have like Villanova, Georgetown, Marquette. I mean, I would argue that Villanova's a top three. Them, the SEC, and the Big Ten, I think, are the top basketball conferences. I don't know if you agree.
No, I think the Big East is, I mean, with what happened with the Pac-12, 10, now 2. Yeah, I think the Big East, because, I mean, Georgetown is blood, even though they haven't been good in a while. Richard Pitino's dad, resurrected St. John's basketball. Which
to get bounced in the second round.
Yeah, and Villanova won multiple titles when Jay Wright was there. Like, yeah, the Big East is, it's not at the SEC or Big Ten's level. It's with the Big 12, though.
Number one thing everybody talks about is NIL and talks about how Xavier can dump all their money into NIL, whereas UC can't. And so the expectation is in the short term or as long as all of this goes on, that Xavier will be the dominant basketball power, probably even Dayton up the road, because Dayton does have a football team, but nobody cares. I have a friend who's a sports reporter at our main paper, the Cincinnati Inquirer. And I had coffee with him the other day and we were talking about this. And he said, covering Xavier now after Sean Miller left and they brought in Richard Pitino, he goes, the number one thing everybody talks about is NIL. Because he's around my age. So he started off as a sports reporter, then he became a political reporter, then he went back to sports reporting. Big Marshall guy, by the way. So it's in his blood to be a sports reporter. And he said, this isn't the same as when he first was. Because again, here in Cincinnati, we're a pretty big college basketball town.
I've come to visit you, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Even UC, my son thinks the biggest thing that could happen in sports in the city is for the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I go, no, it'd be for the Cincinnati Bearcats to win the national title.
Yeah. And I remember when they had Kenyon Martin and he got injured, it was devastating.
You know who hurt him?
City. Slew, right?
Yep. Well, they didn't hurt him. He got hurt in that game. it's a big, big deal. And I talked to my sports reporter friend. And he's like, look, the only thing I have to cover is the finances of college sports. They should be paid. They absolutely should be paid. But I do not know why in the holy hell every year is a massive free agency. So why do they not sign multi-year contracts? Can they not? I mean, what is it?
That's the issue. I actually just read a book. I wish I could remember the names of the authors. I'm sorry to those people who wrote it, but it's called, it was something about winning in this era of college football. So like the transfer portal, NIL, that's what it was all about. And I have the luxury of being a Michigan fan. Michigan's a blue blood in football and basketball. Now they can pay kids. Kids can leave and come and go, but they can pay these kids the correct amount of money that they need. I've told my son often, I am a Michigan fan. That's it. Michigan is the only team I liked. Now, I do like personalities, and Mike Locksley is one of those people I like in the Big Ten. I think he's done a fine job at Maryland, but he mentioned what you said is, if we're going to do this, we need to put these kids under contract. Everybody knows Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. His little brother played at
God. Isn't he like on a seventh school or something?
Well, he had to leave after last year. He tried to get a 6-year of eligibility and they denied it. I'm glad you brought that up because he has all these Maryland records. And Mike Locksley brought him over from him when he took the job when he left Alabama to go to Maryland and brought this kid over and molded this kid. And 4 years, him and Tagovailoa were synonymous with Maryland football. And come his last year of college, he was going to transfer because he wanted to make more. He spent all this time with this coach. This coach invested all this time with him. Got to know his family, but because of where we are now, it's like, all right, time to leave. And this is my issue with the transfer portal is it is free agency. There's no other way to call it. That's what it is. My son and I like to talk at the end of every Michigan season together because he's a Michigan fan, much to my chagrin.
Yeah, I heard somebody say the greatest crime a father does is makes his son choose a team at 11 that's going to make him miserable for the rest of his life.
Well, and I have told him many times, you don't want this life. Like, he watches Michigan football games with our dad and I, and I'm like, you see how we act? Is this how you want to be when you're my age? But he asked me, who did you like on this year's Michigan team? And I mentioned the name Trey Donaldson from their basketball team. The very next day, he transferred. Totally out of the blue. I had no idea he was going to do it. So it's like, oh, we don't tamper. We don't talk to people before. There's clearly deals being made throughout the season, and it has become what I dislike so much about AAU basketball. It's a meat market, and the people with the most money are going to be able to get these kids. And that's why you can't root for players anymore in college sports. It's not like one and done started it of like, well, these kids are going to school for 6 months. Who cares? But now with the transfer stuff, I read about a kid the other day who, since his freshman year of high school playing varsity basketball, he has had 8 different coaches. 4 of them are in college because he started at St. John's, transferred to Wisconsin his sophomore year, transferred to Kansas last year, and is transferring again. You don't get any continuity with everything. This is, again, NIL, I have my separate issues with. These kids need to be paid. They deserve to be paid. Transfer portal is where I get stuck up the most because you cannot root for players anymore. It's like, okay, well, this guy's going here and then he's going to go dead. I'll go back to Trey Donaldson. Donaldson started at Auburn, went to Michigan. Now he's at Miami with 2 years of eligibility left. Who's to say he's not going to transfer somewhere else? I read about a kid, a basketball playing kid who started his career at South Carolina, transferred to Ohio State, transferred back to South Carolina, transferred to Ohio State, and is transferring back to South Carolina. What's the point of that? And the frustrating thing for me, because I'm getting older now, rivalries aren't going to mean anything anymore, especially in basketball with the way kids can leave. So what I would do to switch up college basketball or make it a little bit tougher is you're going to have to bring back making these kids sit out a year. Like if you the first year you transfer, you don't have to sit. But every subsequent year after that, you have to give up a year of eligibility because there's just no, there's nothing that can be done about it right now. You're just letting kids go wherever they want. And all these old time people can be like, oh, this is the death of blah, 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 or whatever. But we have to bring back a rule where they have to sit out a year or sit out a certain amount of time. If we're going to treat this like semi-pro sports, get these kids under contract. That's the only thing that's going to, in my opinion, those are the only two things that are going to help quell this just massive, massive movement that happens every single year. I mean, Michigan was in the midst of the tournament and one of their players transferred before their Sweet 16 game. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why it's happening like this. I don't know. Like, the only thing with the transporter is going to do too is it's going to kill these small schools that have. Michigan was looking at kids from San Diego State and from schools like George Mason and stuff. So these schools who get this one good, that kid's going to leave after a year or two. It's what Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter did in football.
Yeah.
Deion took the job at Colorado. They're like, all right, we're done with Jackson State. Let's go to Colorado now.
I'm going to use this. It's going to sound like I'm bragging on my son, but I'm going to use this as an example because I actually was really impressed with how Ohio handles this for high school. So where my son goes to school, it's an academic school. You have to test into it. And it's 7 through 12. So your 7th and 8th grade years, you're not obviously playing high school sports. It's been around over 100 years. And like the first African-American to ever win an Olympic medal came from his school. And there's been football players. There's been baseball players. Basketball writer Rick Riley went there. I mean, there's a sports culture. It's a big school. Okay. His class has like 500 to 600 kids in it. Their football team is awful. They have won one game in like 10 years. Now, the reason being is especially here in Ohio, and I mean, football is big everywhere now, but Ohio, Texas, Florida, California. So what happens is, let's say you take a seventh, these kids are 7th and 8th grade, and let's say there's a really good receiver. Now, the Catholic schools in the area who know this kid is smart, know this kid can do the grades, they don't have to do any shenanigans, are going to recruit that kid to go to St. Xavier or Elder or Molar, one of these schools just in the area.
Smet and CBC in St.
Exactly,
Louis.
Exactly. So what Ohio does, which I find very interesting, is if you transfer schools as a high school athlete, you have to sit out the second half of the season, including the playoffs.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
So I do like that. And the reason I like that is, let's say my son, who's he's in the midst of track season right now, and this isn't going to happen, but I'm just, let's say we get a call from one of these Catholic schools and they're like, hey, we want your kid to come run for us. So we would go, he'd transfer to that school. And then next year he would run the, if they have 10 meets, he'd run the first five and couldn't run anymore. So
man, that's tough.
Yeah. And I like that because what it does is you transfer, you get to play with the team, you get to get the practice in and stuff, but you will not be impactful at the point of the season where it's important. And that's kind of the punishment that they've leveled down. And again, I never knew about this until we had to go to this parents meeting. I was like, wow, that's kind of an interesting prospect.
I love it.
So I do like that. Now, I'm going to say this too, when it comes to college basketball, I said I haven't watched a lot of it, but I've watched Duke games.
Okay. I haven't because I despise
them. Well, that's what I'm saying. So is college basketball so broken because I'm actually rooting for Duke in Final Four? And let me, talk about players. I'm rooting for Cooper Flagg. This kid is unbelievable.
I'm rooting for Houston because I've...
Yeah, I like Kelvin Sampson.
Well, say what you will about me. I always liked Jerry Tarkanian.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelvin Sampson reminds me of him. So I've always... I know Kelvin Sampson had recruiting stuff, but, you know...
He texted some kid.
Hey, man. Jim Harbaugh bought a kid.
Yeah, right. And I feel the same way, right. Tom Brady had slightly deflated footballs.
Exactly. But yeah, like, I could care less about any of that stuff. Like, I want Houston to win, and I think it'd be cool. I mean, I want Michigan to win. Obviously, that didn't happen. But yeah, like, if I look at the Final Four team, my immense hatred for Duke cannot get me to root for them. And I agree with you. Cooper Flagg is awesome. The kid, like, seems to be really into basketball and like it a lot. I can't stand their coach. I hate the
Than thou
vibe.
It was a Shire, yeah.
Yeah, the vibe that they have. We do everything the right way. No, you don't. you clearly don't do everything the right way. Auburn, the same thing. I hate their head coach. I always have. He seems like Bruce Pearl, for people who may not know. He seems like a slimy salesman, you know? I just can't get behind him. And Florida, to be honest, I don't know anything about them. I couldn't tell you one player on their team. I couldn't tell you who their coach is. I don't know where he came from. I don't know how they got this good at basketball. So that, you and I talked on the phone yesterday and you were griping about, well, why are people griping about all four one seeds being in the Final Four? We have the four best teams. There's something cool about Loyola Marymount playing for a shot at the Final Four. Glenn Mason beating a UConn team that had Rudy Gay on it. Or
think of Gordon Hayward's half court shot. Butler would have won the title.
Uh-huh.
And we would be living in a world where Butler, who, I mean, most people don't know. I know it's in Indianapolis because if I drive to St. Louis, I always see the exit for it. But it's Butler, and they went back to the title game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's kind of cool. It's even when, like, go way, way back in the day when, who was it that beat Georgetown that was an 8 seed? Was that Seton Hall?
Wasn't that the year that, was it Villanova?
Or Villanova, whatever it was. Yeah. Like, stuff like that I think is cool, and I think that's interesting. And, like, I look at the Final Four, and I'm just not moved by it. It's just, okay, well, yeah, sure, they were the four top teams all year, so they're here now. I got to tell you, like, I'm so happy Auburn beat Michigan State because the prospect of a Michigan State-Duke NCAA men's championship game was as bad to me as an Ohio State-Notre Dame college football playoff national championship game. Like, it's just... It's like rooting for villains, and I know there will be Ohio State and Michigan State fans come. You're a Michigan fan. They stole signs. We're scandal. I could care less about any of that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. Say what you want to say. Michigan's still the national champion in football a couple of years ago. Cowboys, 49er, and that couldn't happen. That'd be an NFC championship. It's just like,
but that was that. Whoever would win that would go beat the hell out of Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Or like what we're going to have with the Dodgers for the next couple of years. It's just you... Everybody hated when Kevin Durant went to Golden State because you knew what was going to happen. That's what's happening in men's college basketball right now is you kind of know whoever spends the most money gets the top recruits. I mean, Duke has three kids that are going to be drafted within the top 12 of the NBA draft next year. Like, no wonder they're here where they are right now. But that's just March Madness doesn't have the same pull that it had. I mean, a couple of years ago, the year after when they shut everything down during the pandemic, 11-seeded UCLA made it out of the first four that we talked about all the way to the Final Four. That's cool. We're not going to have that. We're not going to have that for a while.
No, I think no matter who it is who wins this, and I know, like, in the case of...
It's going to be Duke. They're going to...
Well, yes, but...
Winner Florida by 20 points.
But everybody's, like, talks about Bruce Pearl or Kelvin Sampson. You're talking about the coaches in that case. Or And then when it comes to Duke, you're talking about Cooper Flagg. When it comes to Florida, you're talking about, hey, Florida's good again. But no matter who wins, I think... I've said this before, that I live in the state of Ohio. I remember when Ohio State won national titles with Urban Meyer. People don't care right now. It's not as big of a deal because it's more like, well, yeah, you're the most expensive team out there. You've got
$20 million roster.
Yeah, you've got pros all over your team because you're paying these kids to be on this team. So I don't think there's this lure of these college kids doing great things. Even though, and this is what I'm going to give. I joke about Auburn being so old. Cooper Flagg is a teenager.
He's 18 or 19 years old.
He's an honest guy. This is, and I heard somebody else say this, he is maybe the best freshman they've seen play since Carmelo Anthony.
So good. Oh,
so look, and I get it. I remember that run. I mean, that was an awesome run. And I get that. Okay. This is why college basketball is broken, Ties. I'm defending Duke and that Duke player. whoever wins it, it's not going to be as impactful. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And it's just going to be like, okay, well, let's see what next year happens. And it does something my son says a lot. He's gotten really into hockey lately, which I have no idea why. We have no hockey team here. But he talks about what he likes about it is the parity in hockey. It is half the playoff teams are different, like, every year. And he's like, they don't have that in basketball. They barely have it in baseball. And I get that excitement, and I look at college, and I agree with you. I've never heard of Virginia. The only reason I know anything about Virginia Commonwealth is because of the NCAA tournament. Or... I write a trivia game every year for a friend of mine, and one of the categories is college mascots. The only reason I know the Vermont Catamounts is because of the damn NCAA tournament. Right. I know Ball State's in Indiana because of the NCAA tournament.
I went to their basketball camp. That's why I know that.
And this is very much an old man yelling at cloud type thing, but I think the NCAA did the right thing the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
With empowering these players. And let's not forget that half of these kids that are getting NIL money, more than half of them, will never play in the NBA. So you're putting these kids, and they are kids, and their parents in a position to get all the money they can now, and then the kid at 22 has nothing left.
Yeah, and they have to go work at be a realtor or go work at Enterprise Rent-A-Car and stuff like that. And that's what I told our dad yesterday. Again, I don't fault Trey Donaldson for transferring. He's probably not going to play pro basketball, so make the money while you can now. But there's got to be some kind of limit on it, or they have to have... I really like that rule that you guys have in your state there of, like, the high school kids, say you play 32 games. Okay, you get to play the first 16, but then when it matters, when you want to be out there playing, you can't. And I think that would at least make kids stop and think, like, okay... Case in point, there was a kid who played on Purdue's team last year, was a starter on a Purdue team that made it to the national title game, transferred out, and he's playing at Duke now. Why? Why did he lead Purdue?
Yeah.
Purdue made it to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 something this year, and he would have been the focal point of their offense because Zach Edey went to the pros. But, like, no, I'm going to go play for Duke because they're going to pay me more money. And, like, it just... Purdue is not a nobody.
No, they're paying dudes. So they have the Big Ten player of the year.
Yeah. And this kid left because he got more money from Duke to be a bench player on Duke's team. He was a starter on a team that made a national title.
No, well, we'll talk about where the real problem is, because college, again, I can't get all up in arms about it. But when it comes to the NBA, oh, boy.
Hello all, this is RD, and I wanted to come in and say this episode of the Ex-Millennial Man podcast is sponsored by our Patreon. Go to patreon.com and look up Ex-Millennial Man podcast. You go there to help support Ty and I support the show, but it also, we're bringing out some exclusive content here for our patrons, so please come on over. Also, I have some ideas for maybe a few giveaways, because don't you all want to be rocking your Ex-Millennial Man t-shirt, beanie, hat, whatever it may be. And also, the show is brought to you by Public Forum Productions. That's a network of podcasts that the Ex-Millennial Man is part of, along with First Watch Rewatch, High Heels and Politics, and then coming soon, A History of the 1980 Satanic Panic. So again, patreon.com/exmillennialman, Public Forum Productions. Thank you, and let's get back to the conversation.
Okay, Ty, I spent some time defending Duke, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time defending Brian Windhorst.
He's slimy, but...
I think a big problem with the NBA is people like Brian Windhorst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is
attaches himself to somebody like Elite.
Yes, yes.
And makes a career out of it.
Right. And I would even go back further. A reporter, a lot of people, including me, has respect for Dan Patrick. Famously, when he was at ESPN, Michael Jordan would only sit with interviews with him. And I've often, this whole kind of access media type thing, I mean, politics, I could go on for days about how it's absolutely destroyed parts of our country because of things like Fox News and people going to their safe spaces. But yeah. I often said, you know, everybody to be like, well, Dan Patrick has an interview with Michael Jordan. Everybody's excited. I go, first off, Dan Patrick's not going to ask him a damn question worth anything.
No, it's going to be softball
right.
stuff.
And second off, what is Michael Jordan going to tell me about the general NBA and basketball that is insightful? People like him who are so good, there's like he was a terrible GM. And he's a terrible GM for a reason. These great players are usually not good coaches.
That's why Magic Johnson and Steve Nash didn't work.
Right. Coaches. But Steve Kerr, somebody like Steve Kerr does work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare. Now, I know Joe Torre was a great baseball player, ended up being a good manager. Those are rare. Phil Jackson. But yeah. Phil Jackson was
Phil
never...
Jackson was like a middling player.
Right, right. But the NBA, you and I both have liked the NBA for a long time.
I still like it.
And both of us kind of experienced the NBA in different eras. I remember the Pistons just absolutely brutally just mauling everybody to their way to two titles and
playing prison ball.
Yeah. And then you came of age during the Bulls three-peats and
Seattle Supersonics fan, baby.
Yeah.
Go Sean Kemp, go Gary Payton.
Hey, they made a final at least.
Yeah, they did.
This is not the same NBA.
Nope.
As either of those eras. This is grab the ball and jacket.
Boring to watch.
Yeah. Yep. I used to always complain that the Quinn Snyder offense at Missouri was pass, 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 miss a three. That's
what the NBA is.
Yeah, right, right. And that's exactly what it is. And the best player, I think, is in Denver and Jokic. And
he doesn't play defense. The best player is in Milwaukee because Giannis plays both.
I say, I know that argument, and I love watching Giannis play, and I hate watching Jokic play. It's just ugly. Or watching Doncic down in L.A. just jack balls up that seemingly go in. More often well,
and
than
then if it doesn't go in,
oh, yeah,
right at the officials while his team has to play 5-on-4 defense.
So I'm going to go back to Brian Windhorst here. Now, ESPN, who has just this is it. It's just let's talk about the Lakers nonstop. Let's talk about LeBron James. Let's talk about how old's LeBron, like 39, 38, 40. OK, let's talk about a guy who is still a very good player.
He's amazing.
But
what he's doing. That's what I need to say right off the bat. What he's doing. And what the modern NBA is so much more athletic than it's ever been, yet I find it very difficult to watch. LeBron is great. NBA is very athletic.
But
it's boring.
I can't stand watching the Lakers. And it has nothing to do with any kind of Lakers hate. Because, look, I hated the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, but my God, were they beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
But it is to watch LeBron just bitch about everything, Jokic being a bitch. Doncic.
Yeah.
It's so ugly to watch. And you've seen the end of an era, obviously, in Golden State. And I love me some Jimmy Butler, but I know the problems with Jimmy Butler. And then
they beat the Lakers last night.
Yeah, they did. But what is completely forgotten is what the hell is going on in Oklahoma City or Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Celtics, who are the defending champions, it's just ugly basketball.
Nobody talks about it. They're going to win 60 games again. But you wouldn't know.
But I've tried, especially in 2025, to find Oklahoma City games and Cleveland games. And my God, these are great teams. These are really good teams. Memphis, your team, regardless of all the problems they have.
They finally won last night, too. Yeah.
So what is it with the NBA?
I think ESPN and TNT are star humpers. We're a family-friendly podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no bigger light than the LA Lakers. And that's nothing to do with the current makeup of the team or anything. The Lakers have always been, they're the Dallas Cowboys of they're the New York Yankees of the NBA. Like everybody knows that team. Everybody wants to watch that team. But I think my issue is that they only focus on them like, okay, we're going to hire JJ Redick because he's LeBron James' podcast buddy as our head coach. I don't buy it at all. I don't buy the whole, he quote unquote earned this job. He had a really good interview. What all that may be true. He got the job because he's LeBron James' best friend. I know more about Bronny James than I about the number one pick in the draft, Zachary Richasse, or the number two pick, Alex Saar, or the number four pick, Stephon Castle. Those guys play real minutes for their team. I couldn't tell you anything about them, but I can tell you how many points Bronny James scored in the G League. I am shocked at the way their fans turned on Anthony Davis after he was traded. He's always had injury issues and stuff like that, but
Hall of Fame player,
title to that team.
Yeah.
LeBron wouldn't have won if it weren't for Anthony Davis there in the bubble. And then what really frustrates me is people talk about this Austin Reeves kid like he's a legit number three star on the team. I'll give all credit to Carl Tart for this, and I fully agree with him. He said that if Reeves played for a team like Charlotte, nobody would know who he is. Nobody would have the single idea who he is, but he's a Southern good old white boy who plays basketball the way LeBron James likes it. So who's going to talk about him the most? ESPN's going to talk about him the most, and they're going to put him on, and they're going to have interviews with him and talk about how he's got it, and he's the perfect. What happened to Matthew Dellavedova when LeBron left his side? Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen to Austin Reeves. I just want people to think about that. But it's an issue of not so much so just they want to talk about LeBron James and Luka Doncic. They only want to talk. You mentioned the Warriors. They have Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are close to winning 70 games.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about
that. Almost 20 more games. They've won almost 20 more games than the Lakers.
Yeah. Cleveland is having an incredible season. And what they're doing there is amazing. But Memphis, like, they didn't start getting talked about until Taylor Jenkins was unexpectedly and shockingly to me fired. I couldn't tell you anything about Klay Thompson now because he doesn't play for the Warriors anymore, but he's playing for the Mavericks. Like, and a big thing that frustrates me is ESPN acts like LA only has one basketball.
They have
the Lakers and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers have James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, but nobody talks about them like they used to talk about them. This is an issue I have with ESPN is that they only want to talk about the Dodgers, the Lakers, and the Yankees. Nobody else matters to them. It's the same thing with college sports. They only want to talk about Duke in basketball and Alabama in football, or I guess Ohio State now in football, even though they're a Midwestern thing. They only want to talk about these teams. Like, even Michigan, to a certain extent, gets downgraded because people like Pete Bamel worked for ESPN, and he's got it in with certain other schools. So it's growing up, I was always told I couldn't be a sports reporter because I'm not biased enough. I love Michigan so much that I would just be biased.
Or you're too biased. No, you're too biased.
Oh, yeah, I'm too biased. Right. That's right. Pardon me. So I would only want to talk about them. That's what ESPN and TNT and people like that have become. They are essentially what... So The Ringer is Bill Simmons' company, and they talk about Boston sports all the time because that's what he likes. But he can do that because it's a podcast.
Right.
Just like you and I can talk about what we want to talk about. ESPN is the quote-unquote worldwide leader in sports. But you wouldn't know it if you watched anything because they only talk about certain teams. Like, I could care less what Dak Prescott is doing this offseason. The Cowboys are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Lakers, like you said, yeah, they have 44 wins. The Thunder have like 65. Talk about that. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And growing up in the era I did, like you said, I watched players like Charles Barkley, Sean Kemp, Vince Carter, and Tracy McGrady. Guys like that who are high flyers, who Allen Iverson, who they weren't the greatest shooters in the world, but they did these amazing things. And you have guys like that now. Anthony Edwards is one of the guys who reminds me of somebody from back then. While the NBA is so much more athletic and these guys can do so many different things and longevity is so much better, there's too much load management, too many threes being taken, too much focus on superstar players and constant overturning coach changes because certain so-and-so doesn't like this person as a coach. It's not the game that it used to be, in my opinion. While way more athletic, I would have never been able to watch a player like Victor Wembanyama in the 90s because he was so different. And I love that I can watch him now, but because he has Spurs across his chest and not Lakers, ESPN and TNT won't talk about him.
And that's the frustrating part to me.
No, and for people who are casual NBA fans and get all their news from ESPN because they're not as invested in it, and I'm one of those people, I'll fully admit it, that it was a couple of weeks ago that I turned around and saw the Detroit Pistons and Houston Rockets are two pretty damn good teams this year.
The Rockets are the two seed in the West.
Yes. The Detroit Pistons, Todd.
They're like 9 games above 500.
There was one of their superstar players, somebody said, he's up for, like, comeback player of the year. And they're like, he really didn't come.
Cunningham.
Yeah, Cunningham, that's it. It's like, he's not really, he's not better than he's been. There's just a better team around him now that he's not the number one guy that everybody has to stop.
Coach too, J.B. Bickerstaff is coaching that.
So, I mean, those are cool stories. Those are, I mean, the Detroit Pistons are one of the worst organizations. I mean, and they're not the they're not the Washington Wizards who suck again this year.
Yeah. That's on purpose, though.
Yes, I know. I know. I mean, I said the funniest thing that could happen in this NBA draft is for the Spurs to win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg and then just go win 5 titles.
I think that would be rad. I would be here for that. The worst thing I think could happen, which is what I think is going to happen, is Utah is going to get the number one pick.
Yeah, no. But my point is there are some cool stories in there. And I keep teasing about this whole Brian Windhorst thing. Brian Windhorst decided to be kind of a weird creep and follow around a high school athlete, LeBron James.
When he was in his 20s.
Yeah. And he's made his career by following LeBron. And he's made his career because he will not say anything bad about him and will criticize everybody else but LeBron. And it's kind of become this whole, look, a guy who some days I like and some days I hate, Stephen A. Smith. Like, after the Knicks got knocked out last year, which I thought he was a Philadelphia guy, made a big deal about the Knicks, would only talk about the Knicks, which don't get me wrong, I love the Knicks, but the Knicks aren't winning any damn title.
No.
They're the Lakers of the East, I mean, in all honesty. Yeah. It's
100%.
They're not, and I know people are going to be like, oh, you don't think the Lakers are going to win the title? No. It's, I mean, they're not that elite, and it is...
No.
I keep going back to Cleveland, and maybe it's because it's the one team I can root for here. I guess I could root for the Pacers, who are also good. The Pacers, who were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Tyrese Haliburton, Pascal Siakam were great.
Yeah, they're still good. But Donovan Mitchell, watching him play and watching a Cleveland team, or it's going to be like Giannis. I'm going to have to learn how to say his name, but the Oklahoma City kid, SGA.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Alexander, I'll say that. But again,
call him SGA, that's what he goes by.
Right, that's what I do. And or what's his name, Goose in Minnesota, Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I love Anthony. He's probably him and Ja Morant are my two favorite players.
Yeah, when people complain about the NBA, oh, it's just threes and this and those, the players I just mentioned are not like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, they do jack shots, but they're also dudes that go to the basket.
Oh, yeah.
And
attack.
Right. And nobody at all talks about him. And I have to sit here and, like, you bring up the Cowboys, that it is just annoying. We are in the off season, every radio show, because again, I'm in the car for a while driving my son to and from school, and I don't want to listen to political radio. I listen to sports radio, and you get these national shows, and it's that freaking Cowboys. Now, the Dodgers talk about the Dodgers. Fine. They're World Series champions, have the greatest player in baseball, and they're undefeated right now.
I was going to say, aren't they undefeated
right now? Yes. Fine. I don't care. You can talk about that. I do live in a city where we have Ellie De La Cruz, who he gets national attention. So we get that. But
yes,
fine.
He should. He's awesome.
No, he's going to be baseball's first $1 billion player when he goes to the Dodgers in 2 years.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, trust me. He's not here. I say this after the Reds have dropped 3 straight 1-0 games, which no team in history has ever dropped 4 straight 1-0 games.
Brutal.
Oh, it's awful. It's so awful. If I'm these pitchers, I'm taking a dump in these players' lockers. But anyway,
100%.
I understand the whole Dodgers thing. It would be annoying you know what it is? It's the way that the ESPNs and the sports media treats the Lakers or the Cowboys would be like if we just constantly talked about if we made the Arizona Diamondbacks most important team in all of baseball.
I could do my own thing on our Patreon and just talking about Michigan if that's what people want.
Yeah. It's and again, the Arizona Diamondbacks are a really good team. They're a very good team. They're not winning the World Series.
The Dodgers are gonna win. 130?
I said in our baseball preview, I said 115. That's where I put the over under. And
okay. Anyway, sorry.
My only issue with the Dodgers, a quick little baseball tangent, is they're not deep. they're very good up front, but I mean, Freddie Freeman slipped in the shower. And
yeah, what's up with Mookie Betts, too?
Yeah, like, Mookie Betts has like the consumption or something. And
no, I don't mean to land.
No, Mookie, I love. I actually, my dream is in about 2 years for the Reds to trade De La Cruz to the Dodgers for Mookie Betts. I would love to have him at the tail end of his career. that's what I'm hoping. But no, it's, and again, these guys, when they're good, they're good. And Ohtani's on the other side of third. No, so my point is, I understand with the Dodgers, but you talk about ESPN being the worldwide leader. It's not just ESPN, it's Fox Sports. Okay.
Well, TNT.
Yeah.
Same thing with basketball.
It's so tiring. And Brian Windhorst is one of these people. Stephen A. Smith is one of these people that caused this. And then you have LeBron. Like, I don't know what the hell is wrong with LeBron, who decides, okay, this guy who has essentially made me the center of the universe when it comes to basketball, well, he's weird. Now, LeBron's not wrong. Brian Windhorst is weird.
No, exactly.
But why
he
is he...
doesn't need to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't What's for Brian, people like Brian Windhorst, you would be... we'd be looking at you the way we looked at Kobe at the end of his career. A player who's selfish on a, not a great team.
I think LeBron and Brian Windhorst, like I said, both things can be right. They both have a point. Stephen A. Smith is going off the deep end. That's the issue. It's what news has become. It's entertainment now. It's not news. And I report, I mean, Stephen A. Smith talks about, why weren't you at Kobe's funeral or whatever? He was. Why weren't you at this other thing? Because his son had a heart attack. Like, you can't say these things without having a basis or reporting. And Brian Windhorst is the same way. And I hate people. Oh, he's not a basketball genius. He knows people who know things. So he talks to them. But LeBron, for him to attack these guys, like what another player I adore, Kevin Durant, but he spends too much time on social media websites talking to people about stuff.
he's always been kind of thin skinned on that.
But I'm just like, these guys are, they've achieved a level of fame that I will never know what it's like in my life. But I often have said to people involved, like, if I ever achieve fame, I don't have any fame from our podcast or website, but I turn off comments because I don't want to see what people are saying about me. So for these guys to not only have comments on and know what people are saying, but to talk about it, that always has kind of been a turn off for me. And I know they're human too. They can only take so much and endure so much, but it's like, just don't let that negativity impact your life so much so that you're going on and just ripping on random people who have done nothing but support you your entire career. And Brian Windhorst, you're a leech and a weird dude who I hope to never ever have to meet.
No, he's like Jabba the Hutt. Well, let's end it on more of a positive note. I have Duke I'm rooting for Duke to win. You're rooting for Houston.
Houston.
We both think Duke will win. The NBA, I mean, we're on the precipice of, I mean, it's playoff seeding now. Who do you want to win and who do you think's going to win?
I mean, I want Memphis to win, or if I had to pick another team to root for, I'd want Minnesota to win, but I think the Celtics are going to win it all again.
Really?
Nobody's talking about them. If any champs, Jason Tatum, for some reason, is being undervalued as a top five NBA player. I don't like the way they play, but it works for them, and they play defense, so I think they're going to win again.
I'm on Cleveland. I think quietly they're good. And the difference, I think, between Cleveland and Oklahoma City or even Houston is Donovan Mitchell's been there a while. And I think you have to have your great player. I heard somebody else say this the other day. It might have been Colin Cowherd or somebody, but they said great players usually win their first title after 25. Okay. So I'm like, if I look at everything out there, I see a Cleveland, Boston, Eastern Conference final, 7 games, just brutal. And I think overall talent wise, Cleveland has the talent.
It's pretty loaded.
They are. No. Hey, I wouldn't be shocked at all, but it's, and I think when you look at the West, is Oklahoma City, again, they're younger than Auburn. Are they going to make that run? Or is it going to be like, I know in my heart of hearts, it's going to be like Denver. And I'm going to be like, God, no.
But well, then ESPN can have their white European player to talk about that.
My secondary team that I really want to win is Golden State, just because I think they're kind of the anti-Lakers. I think Steph Curry
for Jimmy Butler,
and I love Jimmy. I want playoff Jimmy to have his moment. So
no, I think it's gonna be. I think it's either Denver or OKC, and I'd probably leave Denver right now just because of the experience. I I picked Denver and Boston last year, so maybe I'm just sticking with that again.
I mean, the most perfect line ever is Jokic with 61 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, so like double or triple double. Yeah, okay.
Well,
and then they lose.
Double overtime. He had a 30-20-20 game recently. It was, no, I'm just saying it's all they talked about on ESPN. Last night, Giannis had 35, 17 rebounds, 20 assists. Nobody's talking about it on sports radio today because Milwaukee's not as good as they're supposed to.
What's his name still coaching there? Doc
Rivers. He had to sit out last night because he wasn't feeling well.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, Darvin Ham was.
Oh, hey. Rangers. Yeah. Hey.
He's his lead assistant, so he took over when he had to go to the locker.
All right, Ty. Well, when Auburn has to call you because they got to fill a role there, where are they going to find you?
The issues, man. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, TYKULAK, all lowercase. Come read my stuff on SeatSync.com, SEDSING.com. You mentioned I wrote about Memphis. You mentioned Carmelo Anthony, who I plan on writing about on the day we're recording this. So, but there's all other stuff on there, pop culture, movie reviews, music reviews, stuff like that. SeedSing, SEEDSING.com. You can hear me on a few episodes of Chuckle at Chat, hosted by our buddy Glenn Adams. Check out our Patreon. Check out First Watch Rewatch. I just saw Howard the Duck. Didn't like it too much, but there's way more to be talked about on First Watch Rewatch. Most importantly, as always, you can hear me on this podcast, the Ex-Millennial Man Podcast. Rate, review us, tell your friends about us. Black Lives Matter.
Repeat all that, Seed saying Ex-Millennial Man. And yeah, Howard the Duck. I've had some people reach out to me saying how they think we're wrong. I had two people actually say, I think that movie's better than you have. And I just responded back, when's the last time you saw it? And they're like, oh, it's been a while. And one of them texted me this morning going, yeah, you guys are right. That's not a great movie.
Yeah.
No, I know. And there are things you speak in that podcast about something like Buckaroo Banzai, which I loved as a kid and I still love today. But then
that movie's awesome.
Yeah. But at the same time, another movie we've covered, like Legend, I loved. And then I watched it again and I was like, I don't know what I saw in this. And,
boring. Until Tim Curry comes out as that devil, that movie's kind of boring.
Yeah, and then on the other side of it, there are some movies I am looking at, like the Matrix sequels, that I did not like when they came out, but maybe, again, just reassess it. We talked about it with, like, Oscar films at the time and how some get forgotten and some don't, and we'll see. Anyways, with all that being said, we thank you for your ears. Anything else that you use to listen to the Ex-Millennial Man podcast? Remember, we're here every Saturday for free, wherever you find your fine podcasting shows. Well, Ty, go out, and here in the Midwest, we're enjoying typhoon season for the next week. So
it was 75 degrees on Wednesday. It is currently 48 degrees in St. Louis right now and raining.
But yeah, but it hasn't stopped raining. So everybody be safe. It's not just rain. There's some pretty terrible weather behind you. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Kshanakshanas poojile athanga swapna lochani kana kana ta dekhile tujhe swaroop darpani.
The Ex-Millennial Man podcast is a production of SeedSing.com, fully owned by R.D. Kulik & Associates, LLC. Producers Ty Kulik and Ryan Kulik, adequately engineered by Ryan Kulik.